People Helping People, a program bridging the community with local organizations and nonprofits making a difference in the Bay Area. If you or someone you know would like to get your messages on People Helping People, please email us at contact@poly923fm.com or desipeoplehelpingpeople@gmail.com. Here are your hosts, Larry Walling and Greg Pirillo.
Hello and welcome to People Helping People on Bali 92.3 FM. My name is Greg, my co-host Larry.
Good morning.
My co-host and friend Larry.
Thank you for saying that.
You're
welcome.
That
means a lot to me.
I really believe it does. I will tell you.
I will even say that you're looking good today.
You even said you thought I lost more weight, which I almost thought was a...
That in itself is not necessarily a good thing, though. You can lose too much weight.
Well, I'm just saying. I felt like it was a compliment. Now I don't.
Oh, you look good.
It's the holidays, and you know, this time of year is always a good time to sort of check in reality a bit, kind of set yourself back away from the things that aren't as important that we think are important, right? You know, money and, you know, work and all these things. Like, it's a time now, from here on out, where you should reflect a bit. You should think about what you're thankful for, the people that you're thankful for, and sort of reevaluate who you are and where you are in your life. So then coming out into the new year, you could really take an active approach at bettering life and bettering yourself. Would you agree?
I would agree.
And I think that is the one, as much as the hustle and craziness of this time of year, from Diwali straight through to New Year, it gets kind of crazy. So I feel like today's a good show for us to sort of check ourselves a little bit. And think about some of the things we can do for others, and think about some of the things we can do to help other people that need it. And in a few moments, we're going to get to our guest, who I believe really kind of defines that, and really came up with an idea that really does focus on other people. I know you're very much when it comes to this time of year, you're big on reflection and sort of evaluation and. Do you want to share anything about that? Is there anything you want to share with the listeners about how you feel it's good to go about this time of year?
Well, something happened this week, if I can
please mention
it. A very tragic event in Santa Barbara. So I was staying with my son when I was down there on business, and just across the street is a tow truck driver, a young family, two young children, and a wife. And he was killed. He was in the construction yard, and he was, I guess, hoisting up a 7,200-pound I-beam onto a platform, and it rolled over and crushed him.
He died
immediately. But it made me, and my son and I were just in a cloud, you know, because he was a very cool guy, very nice. And we're both.
You knew the guy?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
35. It made me think, you know, around this time of the year for us, and we were talking about this earlier, you and I, you know, Greg, things still happen, even though it's supposed to be a joyous time of the year for us.
Mm-hmm.
But what it really brought to mind for me was, you know, when we do this show, you know, we always talk about helping people out.
Because
obviously people helping people. And it just jarred me. Back to reality, this is why it's so important that we live today like it's our last day.
Right.
Because we never know. We never know if we'll be here tomorrow. And this guy obviously wasn't.
When he went to work that day, he certainly wasn't thinking it was the last day.
Just you know? Another day.
I said we come back to that theory of tomorrow's not promised, and that movie, Collateral Beauty, which I watched just kind of plain, and it was
to fill time.
I did it. I really just because there was no other movie that looked interesting to me. And I watched this movie, and that tomorrow's not promised just constantly resonates in my head. It's not. We just don't know what today brings and you know who's going to be where and what's going to happen to change it. So I think a perfect way to segue into today's topic, and our guest will be with us now, second time on the show. We had him here, I would say, back in May-ish, and not only do we think he's a great man and a gentleman and a really thoughtful person that's doing wonderful things, but he's also behind an initiative that we're very proud to be involved with and to talk about today.
Yeah.
And we'd like to welcome from Monk's Pie, our buddy Harsh. Welcome, my friend.
Hey, thanks, Harsh. Greg. Thanks, Larry.
Nice to have you back.
Thanks for having me. It's
you are one of those people that when you come in and you sit and talk, like I have no doubt of your authenticity and your sincerity. Mm. The way you've gone about Monk's Pie and how you approached it, and when we spoke about it for the first time, made me such a believer in it. I would love for you to just share, for those who didn't hear it on the last show, a little bit about what is Monk's Pie. You could bring the mic a little closer to you too, if that's
sure.
too far. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Thanks, Greg. Thank you so much for the introduction, even though it's very kind of you.
It's true.
So very, very quickly, Monk's Pie is a Silicon Valley-based, basically a tech for good platform, which essentially enables anyone to be able to provide meals for underprivileged children in India.
Okay.
But the idea is that we do that in the most, we do that in the most transparent, simple, in the most efficient way.
Right.
So in essence, what we are trying to do is rather influence the way, or rather change the way people give by closing that loop, and also by trying to remove the obstacles or rather the roadblocks of non-transparency and high costs associated with giving.
I love the platform for that reason. I remember talking about it when we were on the air for the first time with you, and I was saying, I just love that I don't know how to even explain it. When you go to the website and you want to say you want to donate $5, right? There's like a bar.
Yeah, it's a very cool website.
It's almost like you're moving, like on iTunes when you have a song and you want to drag to the further spot into the song. So you kind of pull the player button or whatever across the screen to the spot you want it to be. Mm-hmm. It's like that. You drag this lever across the screen and then it tells you $7. And then it shows you underneath how many kids are getting fed with that $7.
Yeah. Yeah.
You hit a button and there you are. You're on the platform to pay that $7. Yeah. And it shows you what you're doing and who you're giving it to.
Yeah, and that's thank you for bringing that up. So as we said, so we wanted to stick to these three words, the transparency, simplicity, and efficiency. Mm-hmm. And the way we are tackling that, as you rightly pointed out, the interface is very simple. Because we are Silicon Valley based, we all come from startup backgrounds, and we have learned all those core tenets of simplicity and all those things, usability.
Yeah.
So we wanted to keep it very simple. So as you rightly pointed out, there is a very the slider where anyone can move and figure out how many, starting from $1, what amount is going to feed how many, or rather sponsor how many meals.
Right.
And there's nothing else, basically nothing else to that. And then we accept Stripe and PayPal, and somebody pays us the money. We essentially take care of everything else for them. Mm-hmm. And then within 3 to 4 weeks, children are fed on our users' behalf. Our users receive pictures of the very children that were fed from their money. And also most often of the times, actually all the times up until now, we have strived to provide them with a video where children voluntarily come on the camera for like a 5-10 second clip.
Yeah.
And then they say, thank you. For example, they will say, thank you, Greg Bhaiya.
Yeah.
Something like that. So,
when you sent the videos, they did the donation on our behalf.
That was really sweet.
Larry and I were so completely touched by that.
It was awesome.
Because seeing the kids' faces as they're like, thank you, Greg. And I'm like, oh my Lord, this is unbelievable to see that it really is getting to them. You know, like you could tell me, hey, I walk into Safeway and right now the Salvation Army's there, and I throw up a dollar in or something.
Yeah.
Which I always feel guilty, by the way, that I don't carry cash all the time, because sometimes I'm like, I just want to give and I don't have any cash. Like, I want to give them like a cough drop or something. Anyway, I put in that dollar or $2 or whatever, and I just hope it gets there. And I, maybe it will. I'm confident it will. And if it doesn't, I did the right thing, and they aren't doing the right thing, so I feel okay.
Right.
But there's something about getting that response that shows you, I just helped this kid eat. A kid that would, a 5-7-year-old kid who would otherwise not have that meal if we didn't drop that $5.
Yeah, it puts a face on it. That's important.
Exactly. Yeah. And that was one of our initial things that we wanted to make sure that we do. When we were trying to come up with, you know, how do we actually solve this thing? How do we implement this thing? We spoke to a lot of people, and one of the most common sort of concerns that we heard was people do give. And right now, because we the children are being fed in India, so a lot of people from the Indian diaspora, they come to us and they actually make this happen. And people from the Indian diaspora have this sort of also inherent cultural sort of need or desire, rather, where they wish to feed the underprivileged on certain special occasions, at least like festivals, birthdays, mm-hmm. Anniversaries of lost loved ones, etc. So when we spoke to them, they very, very much wanted to have a platform that enables us to do that, them to do that. But they were also sort of very concerned about the fact that when they give, they do not have any closure. They do not know where their money is being spent.
Right.
It's more of a thing that they come to just accept that, you know, in the best outcome, the money was spent in the right way.
Right. Mm. So, I was reading something the other day that this time of year, from November 15th to the end of the year, is the time when most of the people donate food to the food banks. And yeah. Obviously the winter time, I know a lot in like New York City and such, a lot of the shelters are more occupied because people are, they need to get off the streets. It's cold. Mm-hmm. It's even cold here, right? I mean, it's getting cold every night.
Right.
Yep.
And people do donate a lot of food around this time. And then a lot of the rest of the year, you kind of casually forget that, you know, like you don't think of it as much. So I think it's always nice to remind people at this time of year, it's doing something good that, you know, you're not really looking for praise, but you're doing something really good for children that are starving. I think it's a reminder to do something for yourself, not really, you know, make yourself feel good. Please.
But you've touched upon a very good, so we believe in karma a lot.
Yeah, so do I.
When we are very happy that when we send back pictures and videos of the feeding drive that was conducted back to our users, they come back to us and mm-hmm. they tell us that, you know, they got a sense of obviously the satisfaction, the pleasure that they get. They also get that gratification.
Yeah.
That, as Larry pointed out, when they can see a face to whom they made a difference to in their lives of, so they feel very happy and sorry to interrupt.
No, you didn't interrupt. There's so many things I want to touch on for this show. One of the things that I before I get to what's happening now and some of the things we were talking about off air, mm-hmm. We were saying that you were always saying how you like the name.
Oh, yeah, Monk's Pie. So how did you come up with that name?
So we knew, both me and my co-founder, when we were trying to come up with the name, we both had kind of talked about it a bit, and we really liked the term monk.
Okay.
In the way that our users are, in a way, monks.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
And we had an idea of a logo in our head of a cute little baby monk,
uh-huh.
To make it cute.
Okay. Uh-huh.
but we didn't know what else to put it on, you know, what else would go with the word monk. And we were, I remember there was this day where there was a big discount on domain names.
Uh-huh.
And we wanted to, you know, utilize that discount.
Yeah.
Even though buying a domain name is very cheap, we were being very frugal, perhaps. Uh-huh. Sorry about that. Okay, so that day was actually March the 14th.
Okay.
So that actually, incidentally, that day is 3/14 Pi Day.
Pi Day, yeah.
Right. So we kind of picked up on that, and we were able to link the term pie with a monk's pie.
And there's food associated with pie as well, right?
Yeah. So true. It's kind of an embarrassing story, but that's...
No, I love that. I like that it came on Pi Day. That's a big deal for me. I love Pi Day. 3/14. It's a great day.
Yeah.
But, you know, we talk about... No, it's quite all right. Everybody's sick now. When we talk about the name, right, and the power of a name. Every time I talk to somebody and I mention Monk's Pie, they'll say, like, what does that mean? And I'm, but it's, like, so intriguing because it's visually something. Like, I picture it like a baby monk, like you said. Like, I don't know what I'm picturing, like a monkey, all kinds of things. But yeah. It just sort of stimulates me in a way where I'm like, more. I want to know more. I want to learn more. And I think that's it's very fitting in an odd way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know how, but it is very fitting. Like, people are like, the monks, I get that. Yeah. But do you, you know, being somebody, you didn't mention your partner's name. Do you not want to mention? Because I feel like we should, if you're okay with it.
Yeah. Co-founder, yeah. So, my co-founder's name is Anu. We call him Anu.
Okay.
And then we, have also been joined by Ashish. Ashish is based out of India. He was heading the social and digital marketing efforts of a company called Infosys.
Okay.
So we have been very fortunate to have him on board as well.
I think it's important to say how you started it too, because I want to get to the other stuff, but how you guys came up with this was really cool to me.
Yeah. So it sounds very cliched, but Anu and I, we were having lunch one day. Mm. So both of us, we met during our days at Carnegie Mellon University. Mm-hmm. So we were having lunch and we incidentally just stumbled upon this conversation about food and food wastage. Mm-hmm. And then we started digging at the numbers. And I was pleasantly surprised because Anu also shared that same passion about food wastage, mm-hmm. and hunger in children. So we started digging at the numbers, and it's very embarrassing to admit, but when we first thought about, you know, the first image in our head when we thought about, hungry children, were from children from, let's say, African countries like Ethiopia, Sudan,
that's what I always think of, right? Mm-hmm.
Where there is war and other factors that come into play. But when we started looking at the numbers, it was very eye-opening for us in a way, because we can talk about that. But essentially, one third of the world's undernourished and malnourished children are in India. 3,000 children die in India every day.
One third? That's the number?
Yeah. One third.
And it's a huge country.
It's
but
huge.
Still.
Yes. Yeah. A few months back, the Global Hunger Index was released for the year 2018.
Yeah.
And I know we talked a bit about this the last time.
Yeah.
So at that time, India was ranked 100 out of 118 countries.
Okay.
But this time, India slipped 3 ranks further.
When you say that, that means like number one would be the worst case?
No. So number one will be the best case scenario.
Okay.
India ranks 103 out of 118 countries.
Oh wow! Okay.
In the hunger index.
Okay. Wow. So it's so close
that's,
to the.
So that's very bad. India ranks even lower than countries like Bangladesh, which currently have that Rohingya crisis, and mm-hmm. countries like Ethiopia. I'm sorry, I segued.
You're good at doing that. That was a very good segue.
So coming back to your question initially, we just started looking at these numbers. Then that was the time that we thought we have to do something about this. So yeah. That's where the idea of Monk's Pie came up from.
And you're carrying it through, which is so cool because, the hardest thing is when you have a job, you have a life, you have things, family, you have a small child, I know. It's hard to take on more things, right? And especially things that are not necessarily making you money.
Yeah,
right.
Of course.
This is giving a part of yourself and a lot of your energy and time to something that you're helping others, and that's very commendable. But it's also brave, and it says a lot about who you are. But when you start talking about those numbers, that's don't understand. We were sitting in the office before we came in here just to talk a little bit, and Harsh started throwing out some of these statistics, and I was literally rattled by it because to think of it as that.
Yeah.
How many people are out there that don't have a meal every day? When you say how one third, and you think, I think of India obviously as like, you know, there's a huge country, but obviously so many people, so it's doing well economically. It's been really on the rise, and yet this is still a problem that's growing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'm really glad you said that, because, and that's the irony, because India is now one of the top five, world's largest economies.
Yeah.
And India is one of the largest grain producers in the world, but still one of the biggest challenges remain for India is more of this chronic problem of hunger. With other countries, it's more or less like a trigger-based thing, but with India, it's more chronic.
Right.
Hunger remains one of the greatest challenges for India. When we talked about this Global Hunger Index, they take into factor four parameters,
right,
which are undernourishment, child wasting, child stunting, and child mortality. If you look at these, 21% of children in India under five are underweight, which is just above the war-torn Sudan.
Jeez. Wow.
40% of children under five are stunted.
40%. Wow. Of all the children in India
are stunted.
What?
Yeah.
So that's almost half.
Yeah. All right, I'm sorry.
Yeah. And 260 million go to bed hungry each night. 3,000 children die each day from hunger-related things. And in India, hunger kills more people than AIDS, malaria, and tuberculosis combined. So when you look at this, then we realize that why this is the biggest challenge in India right now.
Go ahead, Lev. Did you have something you wanted to...
Well, no, I used to... I've been to Africa a couple of times. Right. And I know about hunger and poverty.
Sure.
Because we're there helping orphans, basically, from AIDS. But I know what the face of hunger looks like, and it's heartbreaking.
It is, yes.
And that changed my life, but I had to physically go somewhere for it to change my life.
It's amazing, you need to see it almost.
I needed to, and it changed my life, and this is why I'm doing what I'm doing today, believe it or not. So that changed my life. That was back in 2007. It was my first trip.
And I can relate to that, because as it was only after we started looking into these things, it kind of changed the life for us. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much it did, but it definitely did.
Well, you're doing what you're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
So obviously it did something.
Yeah, it totally did something. Yeah, and that's one of the things that, I would definitely warn our listeners to take away from this.
I agree.
Is to look into this and realize where the problem lies.
I want to come back to the donation part of it in a moment. That's the biggest thing I want to sort of close out with, heavily pushing at. But I wanted to get back to what you were talking about. India is the number one producer of grains?
It's one of the largest producers of grain in the world.
So how much of that would help, if they were able to harness that propererly, is there enough to feed everybody?
There is absolutely enough to
feed
everybody.
Then why is it not getting done?
So one of the things is, when I was looking into this, why is there this problem?
Yeah.
There are several factors that actually contribute to it. One of them is there is a lot of food wastage in India, the way food grains are stored. The amount of grains that are wasted each day, that could feed a large European country. And that much is wasted each day. So
that's hard.
So you take that food that's wasted alone and giving it to these starving children would probably eliminate a significant percentage of those.
Yeah. So the problem. I'm very happy that you brought that up, because the problem is not that there is not enough food. There is enough food. The problem is is eliminating wastage and eliminating corruption along the way. As I was looking into this before, there are obviously the factors that come into play, obviously wastage, mismanagement, corruption are some of those. There is also a bit of lack of institutional will to execute reforms that could actually solve all these things, because there is extensive legislation behind this right now. We talked about there is agricultural surplus, but then that is wasted. But again, one of the other important factors is that there is still at least in rural and tribal areas, there is a very low status, social status for women. And mm-hmm. if you combine that with other problems like sanitation in India, all of those sort of make this big devil that's hunger in India.
Unbelievable.
So how would you go about attacking something like this? And I know they have legislation and all that.
Right, right. So with this new government, and this has been happening. People are aware of this, are trying to solve this by, mm-hmm. as you said, legislation and other reforms. Mm-hmm. But there is still mismanagement and corruption in implementing those.
Yeah.
So one of the things that we are looking at is looking at the Indian diaspora, because and that's, I won't say this is our solution, but this is definitely something that we think can help, mm-hmm. because Indian diaspora happens to be the largest in the world, like a diaspora population. In terms mm-hmm. of a diaspora population, Indian Americans are socioeconomically the most successful minority ethnic group
yep.
in the U.S.
That's right.
And so there is this really large resource that's vastly untapped. And if you look at then what we talked about before, that Indian Americans or people from the Indian diaspora want to actually do things like this, you know, feed or help the poor and underprivileged, there we have it. You know, we have a resource, very powerful resource that we can utilize and actually help solve these problems. If, of course, we factor in, we do this in a transparent manner and we do this efficiently.
Very important. Yeah. I also wanted to say, you know, we're down to like 4 or 5 minutes left, but as we talk about what people can do to help, you mentioned Indian Americans, let's talk about what they do right now. Not only people that want to donate, but maybe people that want to get involved. Maybe there's people who, if you want to give some of your time, is that something you would want? Or is it pretty much like you just go to the platform and donate?
No, so we are exploring how do we do that, but we aren't that big or that resourceful to accept all that.
Okay, so it's a work in progress.
It's a work in progress, but we have been very lucky in where our users come back to us and they say that they want to help. Mm-hmm. And the thing that we can do the best way right now is just, you know, refer, you know, recommend us, refer us, or talk about us to your friends and family.
That's right.
And spread the word.
monkspie.com, right?
Yeah, monkspie, M-O-N-K-S-P-I-E.
I just want to make sure it was the .com part. So M-O-N-K-S-P-I-E .com. You go to this website and it's, you don't even, I don't even need to give you instruction. That's the interesting part, because I always think like, well, what do I need to do when I go? And it's like, no.
It's very simple.
It's as easy as you can possibly make it. And it's like, oh, I'm done? I'm done already? All right, good. You know, I did it through PayPal. Yeah. It's an easy way to do it. Yeah. But I will recommend doing this and telling somebody else to do it. If each one of us does it and tells one person, we will feed thousands of children.
Yeah, we are right now. We have just a couple of days back, we completed a feeding drive for 382 children. So right now we are around 4,800, just slightly above 4,800 children.
Right.
Meals that have been provided. So if we do this, we can definitely, we as a community can definitely help solve this problem.
Larry, is there anything you want to add about Monk's Pie or anything for that matter?
Yeah. Hey, Raj, you listening to this program? Go to that website, monkspie.com.
Oh, yeah.
And contribute.
I see where
that's
you're going,
my buddy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think this is a good time of year to do something, as I like to say, thank something that you don't get any sort of thank you or acknowledgement from. I just feel like do something nice for somebody and don't look for anything in return. I don't think enough people think that way or do things like that. Mm-hmm. But it's probably the greatest feeling in the world for yourself. This is one of those things. Just go to a website. And the best thanks you're going to get is when you get something in return, like a photo from a child holding up a sign saying,
nothing better than that.
Thank you, Larry. Or, you know, it's just unbelievable. Is there anything else, Harsh, you want to throw out and say to our listeners before we close it down?
All I would want to say is we all want to help. This is something that I stumbled upon this report where it said that people of this day and age are a lot more inclined to do, you know, are more empathetic and want to do good for the society. So I know this is inside all of us now. So mm-hmm. And there is a platform that allows us to do that. So please explore the platform and check the platform out and do something. Earn good karma.
I like that.
Well said.
Earn good karma. Mm-hmm. Monkspie.com is the website. And just check it out. And even if you don't do anything right now, give it a look.
Yeah, you'll love it. You'll love it.
Bookmark that. Yeah. Cool, you will love it. Yeah. And you'll feel good about what's happening and mm-hmm. you know, seeing people trying to do the right thing. For me, when it comes to children, starving children, I don't think there's any bigger issue that we need to tackle.
Mm-hmm.
No kid should ever starve. Right. And 3,000 children dying a day in one country is just because they didn't get food mm-hmm. is absurd.
And think of the food's there, too. That's the worst part of it. We waste every day. I know.
How many times have you had food where you just throw it into the garbage or the food disposal?
I eat all my food.
You do?
I even lick the plate.
Oh, goodness. All right. We'll leave it at that.
That's for you, buddy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Harsh, thank you so much, my man.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Thanks for coming back, Harsh. Thank you so much for having me here.
New year, when we get back into 2019, crazy to think it's almost 2020. Yeah. 2019. I would love to have you back sometime in maybe March or so.
I'd love to be back.
We get an update.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll see a big surge in visits to the site today.
Yeah, fingers crossed, yes.
Larry, thank you, my friend.
Thank you too, my friend.
You were great today.
Because I didn't say anything.
Keep up the good work. Yeah, exactly. You're very good and quiet. Anyway, we'll see anybody here who's joined us again. We appreciate you being with us, and we hope you'll be back again with us next week for another edition of People Helping People on Bali 92.3 FM.